Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Probably the strangest conversation to happen this week when it comes to Georgia football. It revolves around Lorenzo Carter, Georgia's outstanding outside linebacker who's having thus far a terrific senior season. And the conversation around Carter has been, is Carter a savage or is he a nice guy? And I can only help but wonder what people who are not Southern college football fans must think about this discussion, because if they were to actually kind of peer in on this or be kind of a fly on the wall for the discussion, I think they'd be very confused. Because as you are all aware of, in the savage versus nice guy debate, savage is actually the compliment. That's the thing that you want to be if you're Lorenzo Carter. Nice guy is not the thing that you want to have said about you if you're an outside linebacker. But nonetheless, that's been the debate about Carter this week, even though his play on the field this season has kind of spoken for itself. This is relevant, though, for the game against Mississippi State on Saturday. I want to explain to you why. But in order to do that, I kind of need to go back in time to where all of this began. You know, on Saturday's press conference after the Samford game, Kirby Smart was asked about Carter, who is just showing out so far this year, and the fact that he's made it a goal for himself to be a savage on the field. And listen, you know, Kirby Smart's kind of in a good mood after what was Georgia's final tune-up before it begins SEC play for real on Saturday. So he kind of gave a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek answer about Lorenzo Carter and how he views Carter, maybe a little different than those who have to go up against him on the football field view him. Here's Kirby Smart from about a week ago.
Coach, Lorenzo talked about wanting to be a savage on defense. How far has his game come since last year?
Yeah, Lorenzo's not a savage. He's a nice young man, if you ask me. He may want to be a savage, but he's not fooling anybody. He has taken a different role with his team this year. I've never been more proud of someone.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously true. And Kirby Smart and those comments would go on to say about just how different that he was, admitting that last year Carter probably didn't impact games necessarily all that much. His blueprint wasn't on every single game that Georgia played this season. But this year it's evident, not just on defense, but in special teams and with the second string guys, that Carter truly is not just a great leader by example on the field of his own play, but a true vocal leader pushing the Georgia teammates to be better. And also a little later on the week, Kirby Smart, when asked about Carter again, wanted to make sure that he completely clarified himself that while, you know, Carter may be a nice guy off the field, on the field, this is a guy that certainly is as aggressive as anybody's going to be. Here's a little more from Kirby Smart talking about Lorenzo Carter.
Let me say this. He turns on the aggression in the game, but that doesn't make you a savage. I mean, he plays aggressively in the game, and that's the way you should play. The guy plays with relentless effort, which is what we talk about all the time. You have a uncanny ability to not be denied. He's not going to let an offensive tackle, a running back, or anybody stop him. He's playing with relentless effort, and that's what we encourage our guys to do. I mean, as far as how you cut that loose in somebody, I think everybody's different. Some guys are motivated through fear. Some guys are motivated by self-motivation. Some guys, they want to be yelled at and to get them going. Lorenzo's a self-starter. I mean, he plays hard without encouragement. He plays hard because that's who he is.
So you may be wondering what any of this has to do with Georgia's game coming up against Mississippi State on Saturday. Well, here's where this all kind of gets relevant. Because this week, former Georgia player Jonathan Abram, who's now a member of the Mississippi State Bulldogs, had a pretty volatile comment here. And I think it's a comment that's going to end up working against his team on Saturday. Now, forget for a moment what Abram's motivation would be and does he have sour grapes about the way that he left Georgia. Frankly, I really don't care much about that one way or another. I'm only interested in this game on Saturday as his new team, Mississippi State, plays Georgia. I don't care about the motivation. I don't care about what went wrong for him when he was in Athens, Georgia. None of that is very interesting to me. But what is interesting about is what Abram said about this week's game. And I'm going to read here, and you probably read this at DogNation.com. The initial quote comes from the Jackson Clarion Ledger, the newspaper there in Mississippi that covers the Mississippi State Bulldogs. But what Abram says is, it's going to be a great feeling to get a chance to go between the hedges, but on the opposite side. I mean, just look forward to going in with my team. And honestly, just beating the brakes off of them. The them in this case, as you are very well aware, is the Georgia Bulldogs. So Jonathan Abram believes that his new team, Mississippi State, is going to beat the brakes off of Georgia this Saturday. And, you know, listen, sometimes we probably make too much out of bulletin board material and, you know, teams that believe their team is going to win. I think sometimes the media is guilty of doing that because it ends up being just a real juicy storyline. But in this case, though, I think that Abram may end up regretting what he said, because what Abram apparently said here has made the nicest guy in the world angry. And if you go back and, you know, believe what Kirby Smart said a moment ago about Lorenzo Carter, that he's a nice guy off the field and the kind of guy that's self-motivated and the kind of guy that just wants to be better as a football player, well, all of a sudden this guy has gotten legitimately upset, legitimately angry, apparently, if you want to read between the lines here, about what Jonathan Abrams said about the game coming up on Saturday for Mississippi State against Georgia. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Seth Emerson, writing DogNation.com, asked, or he was in a gaggle of reporters that asked Lorenzo Carter about the Jonathan Abram quote. Here is a few lines from DogNation.com on this issue. Georgia senior linebacker Lorenzo Carter, Seth wrote, was less eager to talk about it after practice on Wednesday. He was asked if he still stays in touch with Abram and if it will be odd to see him in a different jersey. Carter says no and no. Then Seth writes, there were a couple of moments of awkward silence as reporters waited to see if Carter would elaborate. That's it, Carter said. He didn't have a whole lot to say about that after that. So all of a sudden, a guy who's already motivated to have a big season is apparently maybe now, if you want to read between the lines, and I'm going to take the liberty of doing just that here on our program, apparently now Carter's maybe even a little more motivated about what he gets a chance to do against Mississippi State on Saturday. And frankly, there's a part of me that has to wonder. I get the extra motivation for Abram here. But where does Mississippi State as a team get off thinking it's supposed to be easy against Georgia this weekend? And some of them and the media who, you know, have deemed to kind of suggest that Mississippi State's going to come in here and pull the at least the point spread upset against Georgia on Saturday. I mean, to me, a lot of this is somewhat overblown, because at what point in time did the SEC ever become an easy league to navigate, where you can, you know, be in your own stadium one week, beat LSU by 30, go on the road to the number 11 team in the country the following week, and that's going to rack up and be a win as well? I mean, is all of a sudden Mississippi State replacing Alabama as the premier team in the SEC West? If so, that seems to all be happening pretty fast, and frankly, too fast for me. And I think that Jonathan Abram here is an example of a quote of a guy who may be just a little too full of himself and maybe feeling that his team's maybe a little better than it actually is as he gets ready to come in and play Georgia this weekend. Frankly, I think the dogs here, the red and black version, are in pretty good shape for Saturday. And I think for a Georgia team that's already used some media comments about Notre Dame as extra motivation this season, and just the notion of last year being unfinished business as some extra motivation, I think the line here for Jonathan Abram also kind of serves that same purpose. And when it's all said and done and over late on Saturday night, I think Jonathan Abram's going to regret ever having said this. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Good to have you with us on Facebook Live. Those of you who watch us on video each and every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. on the Dog Nation Facebook page. We appreciate you being with us. We're also on the radio at noon every day on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We love our radio audience. Thanks for checking in with us here on Dog Nation Daily today. And in podcast form, iTunes, SoundCloud. We post the show at the worldfamousdognation.com. Wherever you can find podcasts, you can find Dog Nation Daily. We're glad that you have found us today. I'll also remind you, we've got a big event coming up less than 1 week from right now. One way or another, the Mississippi State game will be in the books. And then next Thursday, or it's now this upcoming Thursday, we're going to be live at the Marlowe's location at the Mall of Georgia for our big Dog Nation big game preview as we look ahead to the Georgia's first road game of the season against Tennessee. We're going to be there for the Dog Nation big game preview looking ahead to Tennessee. It's 3333 Buford Drive in Buford, Marlowe's in Buford, from 6 to 8 p.m. this upcoming Thursday. I'll be there. Jeff Sintel's going to be there. We'll do a live broadcast. We'll do a special off-air conversation as well. We'll have some t-shirts to give away. A lot of fun at Marlowe's Buford, Dog Nation big game preview. That's Thursday, September the 28th, this upcoming Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. We'll hope you make plans to be with us there as well. Now, we have a really fun show coming up. I do want to give you a quick program note, though, if you're watching us on Facebook Live. We had to pre-record an interview with Jeff today because he is visiting a very big-name recruit. As we do this show live at 10 a.m. each and every Monday through Friday, Jeff's in the air right now on his way to visit that recruit. We'll tell you in the audio version of the show who that recruit is, and we'll talk a lot about K.J. Henry, Justin Fields, some really juicy recruiting nuggets from Jeff coming today. But if you're watching us on video, you are going to have to check that out on our radio show if you're in the Athens area, or in podcast form there at DogNation.com, iTunes, or SoundCloud. Jeff could not be with us, but we did pre-record the audio conversation. It is really good stuff from him. We do have a lot more fun, though, coming up on today's show for the video folks, including a lot of your questions and comments. We'll do those live here in just a minute, so hope you'll stick around for that. I kind of gave you a little bit of a preview a minute ago, though, of what my thought on Saturday's game is. I think Georgia wins this game, but I am not without concerns about Georgia going into it. And one of the concerns, obviously, or the main concern overall, probably rests on what's going to happen with Georgia offensively. Is the offensive line going to step up and play better, for instance? That's been a big topic and a big issue and concern here this week. And in addition to that, while the offensive line is probably the chief concern, one of those sort of secondary concerns is, hey, can Georgia get all of its playmakers involved? Isn't it time to start seeing some of these names that we were talking about a lot during the offseason? Isn't it time to start seeing some of these guys getting catches here this week, specifically at the tight end position? And specifically, probably, the guy that kind of leads that group, the former five-star prospect coming out of high school, Isaac Nada. Nada, who thus far just has three catches on the season. And during the SEC Network broadcast on Saturday in the game against Samford, it was sort of revealed that one of the reasons why Nada hasn't gotten a lot of catches is because Kirby Smart's not happy with the way that he's practiced. And by the way, that means that Kirby Smart probably went into the Samford game not expecting to get Nada heavily involved there. Well, what's going on with this? I mean, is it fair to say that if Nada's not practicing well, then he should not get targets during a game? Or is this an issue where Nada as a player is so valuable, his talents are so important for an offense that needs all the weapons that it can get, that it's the coach's responsibility to find some way to get him involved and maybe find some way to get him more motivated during practice to perform better there so that he's in a better position to perform well on Saturdays? Well, I had a chance to ask Seth Emerson that question on Dog Nation Daily yesterday. You may have heard it live at the time. I want to go back to that, though, because I think it sets us up for something else today. Here's Seth Emerson on what Nada's role on this Georgia offense is supposed to be.
Honestly, we haven't had a chance to ask Kirby. I mean, we have had a chance. We just haven't asked directly what he meant by that, as in not practicing well enough. Is Isaac Nada lollygagging, or is he not practicing well enough? Does he not look good enough in practice? But it is one of those things where you've got this great weapon, as we saw last year, and he's been fairly non-existent, and they're saying it's because he's not practicing well. Now, in the long run, is that good coaching? Is that good, you know, motivation to a very good player that will ultimately push him to be better and make the team better? I'm sure that's what Kirby Smart and company are thinking. Or is it just kind of not seeing the forest through the trees and saying, you know, who cares if he gets 75% in practice? He's really good. Mm-hmm. Get him the ball. We'll find out.
You know, this is a difficult thing for me to talk about because I kind of see it one of two ways. On the one hand, I absolutely believe in Kirby Smart here in terms of the standard he wants to set for his team during practice. I think that's an important thing for any head coach to be able to do. And I think that Kirby Smart, you know, where those kinds of things are most important when it comes to your most talented players. If Isaac Nada, to take Kirby Smart at his word here, is indeed not practicing as well as he could, it sends a terrible message to the team that if you'll tolerate that from a talented player, then the less talented players – they're also going to let their effort lapse somewhat as well, and all of a sudden, you know, the Georgia practices aren't as crisp and quick as you kind of want them to be. But when it comes to Nada, the situation's also a lot more complicated than that as well, because as of now, Georgia just does not have enough offensive weapons. I mean, look at the wide receivers here. Georgia's best, most reliable targets are both guys who were a lot more athlete coming out of high school than they were finished product at receiver. I'm talking about Terry Gottem. I'm talking about Mecole Hardman. These aren't the kind of guys like Dominic Blaylock and Jaden Hazelwood eventually will be when they join Georgia for the class of 2019, guys who are already, you know, well-rounded receivers. You know, Godwin and Hardman both have had to kind of learn that position at the college level a little bit, especially in the case of Hardman. That means it's that much more important to utilize the pass-catching targets that you have. And, you know, Nada is an example of that. And as I said to Seth yesterday, you know, Alabama had a five-star tight end, O.J. Howard, last year, didn't use him very much either. So it's not always necessarily easy to get tight ends involved in modern college football offenses. But Georgia's got a responsibility here to be as good as it can be on offense. I think it's got to find a way to get Isaac and out of the football. And if you're watching this on video, you can weigh in on that in the comment section. Before we move on with the show, though, let me also quickly squeeze in a little bit of breaking news here, at least breaking news as we're recording this live. By the time you hear this show, this may be old news to you. But a few minutes before we go on the air here on this Friday morning, five-star running back and UGA commit for the class of 2018, Zamir White, lets it be known that he's going to be in Athens tomorrow. So all of a sudden, this gigantic recruiting weekend for Georgia in terms of a big, big list of very big names gets a little bit bigger with the presence of Zamir White. In our audio version of the show today, we will talk to Jeff Sintel about all of that. We've also got Brandon Walker, who does our Mississippi State podcast for SECCountry.com. He's coming up on our show a little bit later on. We'll get a final preview of him, of what to expect from the two Bulldogs tomorrow inside Sanford Stadium. Let me also remind you that as you think about college football, you think about getting bets down on games. You want to be a fast, no-hassle payout guy when you win. That's why you want to check out MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. Use the promo code DOGNATION. They'll potentially match your first deposit up to 100%. It's MyBookie.ag, promo code DOGNATION. You get your first deposit matched up to 100%. Great to have you with us on Dog Nation Daily. Hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Jeff Sintel getting ready to join us here on Dog Nation Daily. Normally on Fridays he joins us on video. Today we'll do kind of an audio-only version of Jeff Sintel because he is on assignment traveling down to Florida. We'll talk more about in a moment the big-name recruit that Jeff Sintel is going to be interviewing a little later on today for DogNation.com. But before that, let me say welcome back to Dog Nation Daily. Jeff, happy Friday to you.
Man, Brandon, happy Friday to you, man. These games, nobody thought the Mississippi State game would be as intriguing as it is now. But, man, it could very well, Brandon, be the biggest and most lit, as the young folks like to say, game of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't say lit a lot, but this one should certainly be lit. And the recruiting portion of this is probably just as big as the actual on-field result because as the list you published at DogNation.com earlier this week attests, this is like – ribeye steaks, no hamburger helper here. This is all like big name recruits that we're going to talk about over the course of the next few minutes. And I guess the name I'd like to start with here is Justin Fields. Is the expectation that Fields is going to be back in Athens on Saturday again after having been there last week for the Sanford game?
Yeah, I think that's the expectation. That's what I'm hearing, but it hasn't been confirmed yet. I think one of the things that the Fields camp likes to do is they like to be kind of stealth travelers. They kind of like to show up. And I don't know if that's the showman or that's the, I guess, the buzz factor that goes along with it. But I think, obviously, it'll probably be just like Sanford. Can you imagine, Brandon? This might get you, foaming at the mouth like some of those GIFs on the Dog Nation message board. But this would probably be some Wagyu beef, man. That's the good stuff, even better than Kobe beef.
There you go.
I don't know. Maybe it's something out of, like, a really cool Quentin Tarantino movie. They all walk through the tunnel as recruits, and maybe you see Zamir White side-by-side with Jamari Sawyer, side-by-side with James Cook, side-by-side with Justin Fields. I mean, wouldn't that be enough to make you maybe break a chair up in the press box, maybe, Brandon?
Right through a metal steel chair, maybe. And I tell you what, it was also really fun. You know, this week I went and looked at some Florida State message boards just to kind of see, like, what they were saying about what's kind of unfolded here over the last few days with the Fields. And, boy, Jeff, it was really eye-opening, really interesting that bunch, for the most part, is kind of thrown in the towel on Fields. After, you know, it wasn't that long ago that they were laughing at Georgia fans for even thinking they were going to get him. But if you go on, like, one of the main, like, Florida State message boards this week, after the unofficial from Sanford and the McGregor-Mayweather fight that he also attended in Athens a couple weeks ago and kind of some of the other things that recruits are saying, the Florida State people have essentially, and I'm talking about fans here, I'm not talking about Jimbo Fisher, but the fans here have kind of thrown in the towel.
Brandon, are you telling me you find entertainment value in the misery of other fan bases and their recruiting efforts? Is that what you're telling me, man? Are you giving that secret out today this morning?
I wish I was a better person than that, Jeff. I aspire to one day being better than that, but as of now, I am who I am, and yes, I did kind of enjoy that.
Well, man, you got everybody's appetite up pretty good. I would say this, Brandon, follow the visits. That's a huge thing. You know, there was an interesting contrast there because before the hurricane, the Miami-Florida State game, I believe, was set for this weekend, and that would have been very interesting and a really good shot for Florida State to catch the attention of the Fields camp. Perhaps that would be the great official visit. I still think maybe that official visit happens on the rescheduled date. But, again, I mean, if I'm counting the visits, Brandon, it must be, if he does show up this weekend, I think counting the ones maybe that aren't out there or maybe the ones that we do know about,
he must have visited Georgia maybe 6, 7, 8 times already this year. And that only bodes well for the chances of the fan base to get excited about the potential of Justin Fields
and what's
one day committing to Georgia.
Yeah, and what's eye-opening here is, you know, we've all said that, hey, if Fields comes, people are going to follow. Interest in Georgia is going to rise in the recruiting community from people because people like the idea of playing with the next great quarterback, if that's what Fields does indeed turn out to be. And an example of that, it's something you also wrote about this week with Micah Parsons. And, you know, it seems like Georgia's, you know, interest at that position has been other guys, and Parsons himself, I guess, doesn't even officially include Georgia in his top group. But he is, apparently, according to what you wrote, planning on making a visit to Georgia, and it seems like you can directly draw a line between Parsons and Justin Fields, correct?
Yeah, that's a little bit of conjecture and maybe connecting the dots a little bit. But those guys knew each other. They were kind of committed together to Penn State for about 5 months. They were at the spring game together. And Brennan, I'll say this. There was a point Georgia's at a point right now where I'm kind of thinking maybe, and you think about names like James Cook, K.J. Henry, Micah Parsons. I'm getting the feeling, maybe over the last 2 weeks, that this is where I felt last year. Now, last year, this maybe happened in April, May-ish, where I literally thought anybody that Georgia went after, they were going to have a really good shot at and potentially land. And now I kind of get that same vibe that, you know, Georgia might not get all these recruits, all these huge five stars that are in the news right now about Georgia. But I do think when they lean on a recruit, when they say, we'd love to have you, give us a shot, I think the Georgia name and the Georgia brand is really not only opening a lot of doors, but it's going to get coaching staff members in living rooms in very important situations. I just think, it's coming a little bit later now. We're in September. But I think I kind of get the same vibe right now that this program is going to have a really good shot at some very big targets that maybe not a lot of people were thinking about maybe 2, 3, 4 months ago.
Another example of that is K.J. Henry, who's visiting Athens this weekend. And, Jeff, I'm gathering this is not just a sightseeing trip the way that some of these visits this time of year can be. I'm gathering that that Henry's coming here on a true fact-finding mission, and I'm guessing that some of that leverage that you talked about, Georgia being able to put on some of these big-name recruits, I'm guessing there's a lot of that going on between Georgia and this elite pass rusher for the class of 2018.
Yeah, very, very well said. And also, he's a great student, National Honor Society member. You see all this stuff coming together where Georgia's finding these guys to recruit that could also be team captains one day. And I think with KJ, I'll tell you the recipe right now to get in really great with KJ. That's have a great visit. That's have an electric atmosphere. I'm talking about the cell phones. I'm talking about the in-game presentation. I'm talking about the music. And even if those black jerseys happen this weekend, I'm talking about all that, but most importantly, KJ's eyes would probably open if Georgia has a very, maybe not convincing, but a very strong, a very impressive win against Mississippi State. That's his first visit, and I feel that would set the bar very, very high for Virginia Tech, Clemson, Alabama, and others.
And you and I talked about this off the air a few days ago. At that position, when it comes to those, you know, pass rushers, especially with Georgia losing Carter and Bellamy this season, after this season, I just think it's crucial that Georgia stockpile at that group as much as it possibly can. And obviously, Georgia fans still have a very positive vibe about what Adam Anderson's eventually going to do. And, you know, the fact that the relationship might be growing here a little bit with K.J. Henry, if that is indeed the case. I mean, that's exactly what I think that Georgia needs to do. I just don't think you can get too many pass rushers, Jeff.
No doubt about that. You want a full cupboard, and you want everybody to get ready. And, you know, competition will breed a lot of them. And in the pass rusher realm, with Georgia's schemes, it opens up to a lot of variety because you could get them, their hand on the ground at defensive end if they bulk up. But you could also get them in that outside linebacker in their odd front, that 3-4 look Georgia likes to play. And the other thing is this, Brandon, the more plays that Davin Bellamy and Lorenzo Carter make and the more times those announcers – or even the PA announcer inside Sanford Stadium says, senior Lorenzo Carter, senior Davin Bellamy. That just says that there is going to be a job vacancy for a big-time player to come in and be featured in that role. as one of the Wolfpack hunting down quarterbacks at Georgia.
When you wrote about the visitor list the other day, you kind of lumped all the Grayson 2019 guys into kind of like one group, and really all the Grayson visitors into that same group. And I hope that you thought about me when you did that, because you know how important of a subject this is for me. I don't think that Georgia's done well enough in Gwinnett County. I don't think it's done well enough in Grayson for sure. And when you think about that pipeline that Florida State's kind of established into that, you know, class for the class of 2019, those Grayson kids, is there some evidence that some of that's starting to maybe crack just a little bit? I know that Georgia's probably trending a little bit more for some of those players than others. Maybe Harris, the linebacker, you know, maybe Morris, the offensive lineman, a little bit, even though he's a Florida State commit, and who knows what Owen Popo is going to end up doing. Is there some evidence that Georgia's kind of getting in on those 2019 Grayson kids right now?
There is, Brandon, and I think a lot of this hasn't been made public yet, but I do think that Georgia will eventually get at least one of those Grayson 11. And I also think this, I think Georgia is maybe in a better shot for multiple members of that Grayson 11 than even maybe what's out there right now. And that's something to think about as well. And again, it's just, you know, you got a guy like Ronald Tompkins who's coming back for two straight weeks. You've got some really quality offensive linemen there. And, you know, also, you know, just it's kind of changing the narrative a little bit with Georgia. Brandon, I've always felt that, you know, you've always kind of had this thing about some sort of Gwinnett County juju where Georgia didn't really excel very well. I'll tell you this, a Georgia team that puts up banners every year and recruits these boys as hard as anybody else, I think Georgia will start to do very, very well in Gwinnett County once all that stuff takes place.
All right, I want to talk to you about the guy that you're going to visit today, coming up in just a moment. Before that, can I squeeze in one more question? You're going to tell me this is greed, and you're going to tell me this is, you know, me doing what I do, but I do think it's at least worth asking. Can I do that before we get to the guy you're going to visit?
Oh, wow, now you've set the bar pretty high, Brandon. You better give me the 98-mile-an-hour fastball, not the 93-mile-an-hour off the corners here. What you got, man?
All right, just hear me out on this. You wrote this week that there's a chance that Jerry Bohannon, a quarterback, may take a visit to Georgia at some point in time this season. And obviously, you know, that's not a recruiting priority for the Dogs right now. They put all their eggs in the Justin Fields basket. But I can't help but think that last year Alabama signed two quarterbacks. They had the five-star Tua Tagovailoa, and they also brought in Mac Jones, who had other SEC offers. In fact, Mac was a Kentucky commit for a while. Is there a chance that Jerry Bohannon could end up being the Mac Jones of Georgia's 2018 class, or is that just too much?
Now, Brandon, are you auditioning for the Michael Douglas role in your community theater play of Wall Street the Musical or something like that?
I could slick my hair back and put on the double-breasted suit. I could probably pull that off.
Man, that is greed is good. My answer to that would be kind of, in short, no. I think I put in that one of those hurry-up intel bits that I just don't think Georgia is checking in and clocking in as hard as they need to get in the race with Jerry Bohannon. And let's face it, I think most of these recruits, especially the quarterback recruits, if they see the name Justin Fields go up on the board, I think that would kind of be check please for them thinking about Georgia. I also think it'd be very hard in 2019 to attract a quarterback. It will probably happen because everybody will look and see, you know, guys leaving, and, you know, all three of those guys will stay. And then also Jacob Eason would be draft eligible after the 2018 season. So I do think that that's a little bit greedy, but not just greedy, but I don't think that's within the realm of possibility quite just yet.
So you are getting on a plane right now as we're recording this. During our regular broadcast window at 10 a.m., you'll be in the air. And you're going down to visit running back James Cook, who is a very popular player with Georgia fans and a guy that Dog fans all, I think, want to be a member of this 2018 Georgia class. The relationship between UGA and Cook has appeared to be strong now for a while. What do you anticipate hearing from him in the conversation you're going to have with him later on today?
Wow. First of all, him and his Rockets team basically stunned high school football nationally when they went to Bishop Gorman a couple weeks ago and beat up probably and defeated one of the, you have to say pound for pound, and the nation's best high school program over the last 5 years. Cook did very well. He excelled, showed a lot of burst, made a lot of plays against a big-time defense. And now they're going to take IMG Academy on, which is another strong program filled with five stars on the offensive side of the ball, but mostly IMG's maybe big strength is what they do defensively. Guys like Nolan Smith, Xavier Thomas, you know, it's not just James Cook there. I get to see Nolan Smith again. I'll get to see inside linebacker target Juan Wallace. There's James Cook, of course. There's also Trey Sanders, who's an Alabama commitment at safety. But there is some attention there he's getting from Georgia a lot. And some of that is mutual as well. He's always liked Georgia. And so there's a big thing going on there, but you'll get to see Crook. You'll get to see him against what would look like a very stout, as far as high school football competition goes, one of the stoutest defenses in high school football, if not the best, most talent-laden defense in the high school football. And that'll be a big measuring stick for James Cook and what he brings to the table. And again, it's going to be interesting because, you know, that South Florida area is still just coming back to normal from everything that happened there with the storms.
Yeah, that's very true. Well, Jeff, that's going to be an outstanding piece coming up at DogNation.com in the days ahead. We certainly appreciate you going down to Florida to get all this done, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Saturday for the Dixie Vodka postgame show back in Athens at the UGA bookstore. Is that right?
Yes, sir. And, you know, I had to get this in, Brandon, in honor of one of your favorite things in this world. Dog Nation is jet flying, rental car wheeling and dealing, recruit interviewing and reporting, Dog Nation intel posting and tweeting, and we're heading down to Tampa to have a good time today.
That is well said by the nature boy, Jeff Sintel, right there. All right, Jeff, safe travels to you. We'll talk to you soon. Dixie Vodka postgame show after the game on Saturday. See you then.
Take it easy, Brandon.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Always fun having Jeff Sintel on Dog Nation Daily, especially for those of you who are listening to us on podcast or radio form right now. Always a really fun interview with Jeff Sintel. Pretty revealing about some of those guys who are going to be in Athens on those visits, both official and unofficial, on Saturday. We'll transition away from Georgia here for a couple of moments. We'll look at some of the other SEC games with our SEC Through. And don't forget to check out AT&T SEC Country Live every Monday through Thursday on the Dog Nation Facebook page. Always love having you there for that one. Really fun conversation with myself and former Alabama All-American Mike Johnson for that one. Let me preview a couple of these big games on Saturday, including the noon start between Texas A&M and Arkansas there in Jerry World. Now, both these schools are a long way away from Athens, Georgia, so Georgia fans can be forgiven if they don't really know or care much about Arkansas or Texas A&M. I do think this is a pretty interesting game on Saturday because, you know, the comparison that some people have made here is this is a little bit like what that LSU-Auburn game was last year, where you felt like the loser of the game might eventually get fired. In the case of Les Miles, his team did lose it. He did eventually lose his job. And I think that Bielema and Sumlin at this point are more than on the hot seat, especially Sumlin at Texas A&M. But a loss for Bielema in Arkansas would be just as bad. One of the things that also makes this game a little bit of a challenge here, too, is, you know, there was this weird report that former UGA commit Devwa Whaley got into a fistfight with one of his teammates. Apparently, for a while, it was thought that Whaley might even be able to play in the game. Well, now he is going to play. But nonetheless, that complicates the situation for Arkansas a little more. I wouldn't even begin to pretend to know what's going to happen here. I assume that Texas A&M is still the better team. I actually think Arkansas is the worst team in the SEC. And I expect them to lose on Saturday. Another SEC game I want to talk about here just for a moment. Alabama-Vanderbilt, 3:30 p.m. This is the CBS game on Saturday, believe it or not. We don't see Vanderbilt in that CBS slot very much, but we will see them on Saturday. And I said this yesterday on AT&T SEC Country Live that, you know, there's a part of me that would love nothing more than for Vanderbilt to give Alabama a scare. I mean, the truth is, I'll admit this to y'all, I'm actually a little tired of Alabama. I'm tired of that team being on top in the SEC. There is this, you know, growing arrogance that comes from Tuscaloosa that I'd love to see a little pushback against. I'd like nothing more than for Vanderbilt to potentially take them down a peg. But there has been so much talk about Vanderbilt this week that it's just an impossibility now. I think this is a absolute drubbing on the part of Alabama here. I think they wallop Vanderbilt. I think CBS is going to greatly regret not having UGA Mississippi State in that 3:30 time slot. I just think that with the one Vandy player saying we want Alabama after the game last week, with the stuff that's been written about the Vanderbilt defense this week and of whether or not statistically as good as what, you know, Alabama's bringing to the table right now, it's statistically ahead of that, but is it actually that kind of defense on paper? That's just too many compliments, too many kind things said about Vanderbilt. I think Alabama has a little extra motivation. In Nashville, they're going to have a million fans. There are a lot of Alabama alumni that live there in Nashville. Vanderbilt's charging a $110 face value for these tickets because they're going to try to scalp these Alabama fans. It's going to be a pro Alabama crowd and an absolute Alabama blowout. And all this love for Vandy this week is going to seem ridiculous when it's all said and done. But nonetheless, that is your 3:30 CBS game. Auburn goes to Missouri on Saturday night, and they are a big favorite in this game. But you know this, Auburn needs to get it going. I mean, the season is getting away from them, and they have not shown you very much at all as of yet. Now, my guess is they probably do put it together here against Missouri on Saturday night just because Missouri may just flat be terrible. And by the way, if Missouri does not show up against Auburn, at least keep it close after getting embarrassed at the hands of Purdue last week, then you can write off Missouri playing close and well against anybody. It's going to be over at that point in time. And I think that's probably where we're heading here. I just don't think they're very good. I still think Auburn is a dangerous game for Georgia in November and a dangerous game for a lot of SEC teams throughout the month of late September and October. I think it's too early yet to write off Auburn. And I know some of you want to laugh at me because I talked them up during the offseason, and I'll keep taking my medicine on that for quite some time. But as it stands right now, I think Auburn does play better against Missouri on Saturday, and I think that Auburn kind of reestablished itself here just a little bit. One more game I want to get to here before our SEC through wraps up. Florida-Kentucky on Saturday night. I've made my case here. I do think Kentucky wins this game. I think they get to 2-0 in the SEC. I think that that Florida's still a team that's got a lot of problems. And the last-second touchdown win against Tennessee doesn't do a lot for me to obscure the other issues the Gators kind of showed at that game. That's the situation I think you're dealing with. And, of course, Florida fans will be talking trash to me on SEC Country Live presented by AT&T if that goes wrong. But that's kind of what I think. And we'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, we'll get ready to transition over and welcome Brandon Walker to the program once again this week. Brandon does our SEC Mississippi State podcast for SECCountry.com, and he's a great resource to kind of have one more final look at what may happen on Saturday between the Dogs and Mississippi State. Brandon, welcome back to Dog Nation Daily. How you doing today?
Doing very well. Thanks for having me.
So let me start with something that I talked about before you joined us on the show earlier in their show. Jonathan Abram, the former Georgia player, talking about his old team, saying that he was looking forward to seeing Mississippi State beat the brakes off of Georgia. You know, I think sometimes we overblow bulletin board material a little bit sometimes. In this particular case, though, I think this is the kind of thing that Abram may regret eventually saying. Coming from the Starkville side of things, how did you view what Abram had to say?
I kind of one of those things where you're watching a scary movie and you know it's going to be scary, so you put your hands over your eyes and you don't watch. I really didn't like it, but I understand. I mean, the guy's a 19, 20-year-old kid and said something. He does want to beat the brakes off Georgia. He does want to beat his old team. Of course he does. But going into Athens, this is already a huge game. This is already one of the biggest games of the week in the country and the biggest game in the SEC. It doesn't need any added juice, and certainly Jonathan Abram didn't need that target on himself or his team. I wish he hadn't said it. I like his confidence, but I wish he kind of let the mic pass him that time.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from on that. Listen, I am one that's also at times prone to like forgive a lot of the the bulletin board material talk. I think sometimes in the media we have more fun with that than some of those comments actually probably warrant. In this case, though, and maybe I'm speaking too much from the Georgia perspective on this, it does seem like Georgia gets a little motivated by stuff like this from time to time. They seem to have a chip on their shoulder going into Notre Dame about something that I'm not even sure what they were bothered by. And I think some of these Georgia players in particular probably pay attention to this maybe more so than typical opponents would when something like this was said.
Well, I think more than that, Brandon, if somebody had said it, if like an offensive lineman for State had said it, it'd be one thing. But the fact that this is a former Georgia player that said it, this is somebody that played in Athens, that signed with Georgia coming out of high school, went over there and played a little bit, has friends on the team probably, and the fact that he's the one that said it is probably what raises more eyebrows than anything.
Yeah, that's very true. Hey, I had a really fun time being on your show yesterday, the Mississippi State podcast. We had a kind of a fun conversation. And one of the things we kind of got into is, and Georgia fans I think are legitimately, I don't want to say concerned about this, but they're curious. So are Mississippi State fans going to try to bring cowbells into Athens on Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they will try to bring in cowbells. Now, I'm not talking about a cowbell invasion of 10,000 cowbells going strong, but you'll have about I don't know, 100, 200, 300 people, they will successfully get cowbells in that stadium. And there will be security, and they'll be able to check, and they'll try to keep them out. But these are cowbell contraband experts, and they know how to get them in. Now, will it make a difference? Probably not. You know, 200 cowbells in a stadium of 93,000 doesn't make that much noise. But they'll get in.
So here's my question. I mean this seriously. I'm not being funny at all. Like, what is the typical, like, protocol here for road stadiums? I'm sure you've seen the Maroon Bulldogs play on the road quite a bit. I can promise you this. If UGA fans see these cowbells, they're calling security. I mean, what happens when does security come over and start, like, sort of patting down the Mississippi State fans here? I mean, you have to have seen this play out before. Like, what happens in other stadiums when they try to bring the cowbells, which are sort of, like, prohibited by rule? I mean, does this ever get ugly with security and Mississippi State fans?
I think occasionally. I don't think it ever gets that serious. I think it's kind of tongue-in-cheek a little bit, get your cowbell into another team's stadium. It's almost like
it
a
badge. It may be
of
tongue-in-cheek
honor
for Mississippi State fans. I don't know that it's tongue-in-cheek for the Georgia fans, though.
It might be like, it's like a badge of honor, though. Say I had my cowbell taken up in Athens. I've had my cowbell taken up in 10 of the 14 SEC stadiums, something like that. It's just kind of one of those things, Mississippi State fans. I've never been pro-cowbell. I don't like a lot of noise. I have four kids. I have plenty of noise at home. So I've never been a guy that takes cowbells to road games or home games, but there are some that just live and die by it. I mean, you'll have some that take a dummy cowbell and get it taken up, and then they'll keep their real cowbell in their pocket until it's time to really cheer for something.
That is quite a thing to imagine. Hey, final question. We'll make this a more serious one. When you look at Mississippi State, obviously we have Georgia fans listening right now. When you think about the potential concerns for Georgia from Mississippi State, is it more about Nick Fitzgerald to you? Is it more about the Mississippi State defense? What matters most here?
I think it should be more about Mississippi State's defense. Nobody expected them to be this good, and the fact that you've got Todd Grantham leading that defense into Athens. Now, Todd Grantham is not a coach that needs a lot of added motivation, but coming back to Athens is going to be a big deal for him. And bringing an SEC defense, you know, Jeffrey Simmons has played like the best defensive player in the SEC so far this year. They've gotten after the passer. They've been excellent all over at every level of the defense. The defensive line's been elite. The linebackers have been good. The defensive backs have been good. And if they can control the line of scrimmage, you know, I kind of look at it like this. Nick Fitzgerald and Mullen are so good, they're going to get what they're going to get. And they're going to get that every week against everybody. So the defense has to hold up their end of the bargain. And they have to be able to stop the other team. And this time, I think Mississippi State actually has a defense that can do that. And I think that should be Georgia's biggest concern.
Well, Brandon, it's always great to get your insight on Mississippi State. These are two teams that don't play a lot, so it's kind of fun to hear from someone who knows the Mississippi State program as well as you do. And for people who want more of you and what you're doing here for SECCountry.com, how can they find you on Twitter or really anywhere else?
Well, I'm at BWalker_SEC, at BWalker_SEC. I have, you know, every day you have Dog Nation Daily there. From 10 to 11, and then I come in from 12 to 1, and I do the Mississippi State podcast in the studio. We have a good time with that, and I will be in Athens this weekend. I'm leaving tomorrow morning about 9. A friend of mine and I are going over there. My first time ever to go to Athens, and I'm excited.
Well, I think that you'll find Athens to be a really cool college town. I think you'll have a lot of fun there, and hopefully it'll be good memories every moment up until the final score between the two teams. Thanks so much for being with us here today, Brandon.
Thanks, man. See ya.
Good stuff there from Brandon Walker, who does a good job doing the Mississippi State podcast for us here on SECCountry.com. A part of the growth that's taking place here around SEC Country. It's always really fun to see, and it's great to have terrific colleagues. Something else that's great to do. Now, listen, we know Saturday is important between Georgia and Mississippi State, but what's also more important than that, or not more important than that, but important too, is the Dog Nation Daily Gatorator Countdown, looking ahead to the Florida game coming up. 36 days from right now, Georgia takes on Florida. We think Georgia's going to beat Florida, and we think that it's going to be a great day for the Georgia program. We count it down 36 days from now. Georgia takes on Florida and takes out Florida. It's our Dog Nation Daily Gatorator Countdown. You can check out shopdognation.com and get your very own Dog Nation Daily Gatorator T-shirt. Hope you'll look at that, and hope we'll see you on Monday for another episode of Dog Nation Daily. Y'all have a great day.